This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We're wheeling and dealing for week 3 of the NFL. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzabia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates. And today, it's all about the rest of the season, the trade show, who you want, who you don't, and the risers and the fallers and the rankings. Plus, we're also going to get to the mailbag, and there's nobody better to talk about trade values with than our guest today from CBS. He's the one, the only, Jamie Eisenberg, giving us even just a small morsel of his time is enough for me, and we are grateful to have you here. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always great to talk to you, and let's look ahead to the rest of the season, because the first 2 weeks have certainly been fun.
They certainly have. Last night, Monday Night Football, I would say, Yates, that a little dust still to shake off there from the Packers in the first half, but after that, Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers, and it seems like all is right in the world in terms of what the Packers are supposed to be doing. So a big sigh of relief, I would think, from the Monday Night Football. All the people who have, Aaron Jones and
Adams. I was
Adams
just about
Rodgers,
to say,
right?
Huge sigh of relief for the Aaron Jones fantasy managers out there. Yes, all is right in the world here on this fine Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and as far as the Lions side, it's weird because I almost feel like, Jamie, last night in that game, you get the Lions kind of coming out like gangbusters, which I don't think anybody quite expected. And then they kind of fell apart in the second half, which is more what we're used to, which is the inverse of what you saw in week one from them with the San Francisco 49ers. But it seems like this team is at least playing for Dan Campbell and Jared Goff leading the team in rushing yards. I don't know if that is the recipe for wins. I'm not sure.
No, but yes, they are playing for Dan Campbell. You kind of expect that with the type of personality that he has. He's going to fire up his troops and get them ready to go. It's still early in the season, so we'll see what's happening, come week 10 and beyond. But I think the frustrating thing, obviously, for fantasy managers is what's happening with DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, because they looked awesome in week one. And you thought, okay, they're down 35-17. There's some opportunities here from garbage time production. And we saw it a little bit with Swift on the final drive, but that's not what you're hoping for. You're not hoping for four catches. You're hoping for, north of probably 6 or 7. And Jamal Williams only 3 catches. But thankfully, TJ Hockenson continues to deliver. Yeah. So, he's the one reliable thing, at least in that offense. And then not an easy situation going week 3 against Baltimore. So we'll see how the Ravens approach those two running backs in terms of Swift and Williams, and probably how fantasy managers respond to those guys as well.
We shall see indeed. And before we kick things off with the most traded guys, the guys we have to really talk about and figure out if we want to keep them or is it time to get rid of them and move on, I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. And what you can do, obviously, is win yourself a Kyler Murray autographed football thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot that bad boy, and go over to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. And don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's growing every single minute of the day. The YouTube channel, when you subscribe to Fantasy Pros and click that little notifications button, you get a 3x your entry. That's right, 3 more entries into that contest for the Kyler Murray football. So go and get it. What are you waiting for? I mean, it's free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. All right, let's kick things off here with the big name, and I can't tell you, boys, how much, in terms of volume, I'm getting questions about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I want to get right off to the top here, and Jamie, you're the guest, so I want to start with you. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, certainly, I think everybody had expectations that he was going to kind of crack the ceiling of what maybe he teased a little bit at times last year. Is he a guy right now that should be traded for or traded away, in your opinion?
Well, you're not getting fair value if you're trading him away, because clearly it's been a frustrating, you know, first 2 weeks, and the fumble didn't help against Baltimore, especially how the game unfolded. So if I can get him cheap, I'm going to certainly try to get him cheap, but I'm not going to give up a significant starter and certainly somebody that I drafted in the same range as CEH, you know, to get him in return. But I'll tell you this, if I have an open roster spot, I'm probably picking up Darrell Williams, you know, just in case of, you know, there's some changing of the guard at some point. We know that Williams was their guy in the playoffs last year. So just from a different roster procedural move, I'd probably be doing that. But if I'm trying to trade, or any trade conversation regarding Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's buying low and certainly not selling high, because there is no high for him right now based on the first 2 weeks.
Yates, what are your thoughts on Helaire? Because I don't know about you. Are you seeing the same kind of traffic I am with these questions about, you know, is this a good trade? Can I get rid of Helaire and get this and this? I know it's only 2 weeks into the season. Do you think it's too early to jump ship, or is this the right time before it possibly gets worse?
I think it is too early to jump ship. However, I do think that it is time to adjust our expectations for CEH. Now, going into the year, there was people were putting him in rankings in that like high-end RB2, maybe even into the low-end RB1 conversation around guys like Joe Mixon and Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris. He was in that conversation. And I think for right now, he has to move down rest of season rankings. We have to adjust our expectations for who he is and what he's going to be in this offense. If he's not going to be heavily involved as a receiver out of the backfield here in this offense, which he's not, I don't think he's ever going to be, which is a freaking shame, because he is an incredible pass catching back. And if he's not going to be used around the goal line, we had that opportunity, and then fantasy managers were panicking as we saw Darrell Williams in there at the goal line, and he ends up getting the touchdown there. If he's not going to see those opportunities, he's never going to push his way up into RB1 territory. So he is now in my rest of season rankings as a low-end RB2, a mid-range to low-end RB2, someone that you can still comfortably rely on in your starting lineups. We're not going to see him put up just 2 fantasy points like he did this past week or whatever. We're not going to see that moving forward, but we do at least need to adjust our expectations that he is never going, in this offense, it appears that he's never going to crack that ceiling of the top 12.
It's funny, I think we're all still chasing that Kareem Hunt year from a couple years ago when Mahomes burst onto the scene, but the difference is Mahomes' evolution now as a quarterback means he just doesn't care. He doesn't need to run the football. He doesn't really desire to turn around and hand it off. And in terms of checking down, he's just so talented. He could find guys open downfield with such ease that it's just not going to be a thing potentially, and it's a reality. Here's some names: Tony Pollard or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Yates. Who would you rather have rest of season?
Yeah, Tony Pollard, incredible what he did yesterday. On Sunday, like just looking fantastic, but he is still a complimentary piece in this backfield. He's going to take the backseat to Ezekiel Elliott, at least, you know, like he's going to be involved. I am moving Tony Pollard up my rest of season rankings, but I'm not putting him above CEH just yet.
Jamie, do you want the secondary back in a high-powered offense there that seems to be getting the touches, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Pollard or Helaire for you?
You know, it's funny because obviously logic will tell you take Edwards-Helaire, and that's who I'll take as well. But, you know, it's 2 weeks in, and Pollard, I mean, looks better than the guy in front of him, too. He looks better than Ezekiel Elliott. Right. So, you know, why wouldn't you take him over Edwards-Helaire? But still, it's just, you know, can you imagine the end of the season, Tony Pollard outscoring Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and just how foolish we'd all look as fantasy analysts saying, you should have drafted the Cowboys backup over the starter. I'll still take Edwards-Helaire, but it's maddening right now.
You use the word logic, which is very dangerous. We always try to bring logic and good sense and calm, right. But that does not always equate in terms of productivity and fantasy points. How about this one? Jonathan Taylor or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamie, who would you rather have rest of the season?
Oh, Taylor. Yeah, I know he's gone off to a little bit of a slow start, and the quarterback situation is now going to be frustrating depending on how much time Carson Wentz misses, if he misses at all. But the, you know, 2 sprained ankles does not sound fun. I don't ever want to experience that. So I'll take Jonathan Taylor. You know, that was obviously the way it was ranked going into the season. I hope it'll be the way it finishes. So give me the Colts running back for sure.
All right, last one on here. We've got Antonio Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yates, your thoughts on these two? Gibson also has kind of struggled out of the gate, but do you have higher hopes that he can get right before CEH?
Yes, absolutely. With Antonio Gibson, we know that he's going to be used around the goal line, right? He's going to have those red zone opportunities. Now, we saw JD McKissic in the 2-minute drill this past week get that opportunity, but I've talked about it where I think that Antonio Gibson practicing on a shortened week, I think that played a role in it. I have zero concerns about Antonio Gibson at this point. He's still seeing a very, very significant workload in this offense. I will easily take Antonio Gibson over Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right, Jamie, same for you?
100%, yeah. They're not in the same stratosphere right now with based on how things have gone, and I know Gibson struggled, but you just got to worry about Edwards-Helaire. I mean, the Chiefs told you that last year, you know, when they had an opportunity to sign the corpse of Le'Veon Bell. They brought him in, and we saw how that worked out. So I don't think they'd be hesitant to go kick the tires on somebody who's out there.
All right, speaking of old dudes, let's go to Melvin Gordon. How about that segue? Melvin Gordon, you know, still in this timeshare here, and so far Denver's gotten off to a pretty good start. They're going to have the Jets this week, so another potentially good matchup here. Melvin Gordon or Kareem Hunt, what side of that trade would you rather be on, Jamie?
I'll take Kareem Hunt. You know what his role is going to be with the Browns, and there's still the lottery ticket appeal. If something were to happen to Nick Chubb, then you know he's got must start ability across the board and top 10 potential if something, you know, were to happen to Chubb, as we saw last year when he missed the four games. So to me, Chubb is going to potentially play as much as Melvin Gordon. He may not get as many, you know, touches per se, certainly not as many carries as long as Chubb is there, but better situation for him with the offense that he plays on, the offensive line he plays behind. And then again, you know what happens if something happens to Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt is a much, much better player.
Gase, is that the same sort of feel for you as well when you're looking at Melvin Gordon? Because there's a chance that as the season goes on, the role possibly diminishes or injury creeps back in again, as we've seen many, many times here with Melvin Gordon over the years. As the season goes on, so go his injury woes. So is Kareem Hunt a perfect kind of guy where, yeah, maybe a team looks at him as a secondary back with not as much touchdown equity, but as Jamie's pointing out, he certainly gives you a whole lot of touching of the football still in terms of reception. So in PPR, this might be closer than you think.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely close. I think I will go with Kareem Hunt as well, just based on the fact that the upside, right? With Melvin Gordon, if something were to happen to Javonte Williams, is he going to step in and is he going to be like a top 24 running back? Yeah, absolutely. Right now, it's a near even split. But I think with Kareem Hunt, if something were to happen to Nick Chubb, then at that point you have a potential top 10, top 5 fantasy football running back behind that offensive line with the offense that he's in and how committed they are to the run game. So yeah, I think with Kareem Hunt there, he's the lottery ticket. They're in the same range for me, but I'll just lean into the better offense there with Kareem Hunt.
And Joe, one thing to add potentially is with Jarvis Landry out, do they get more creative with putting both running backs on the field and maybe use him as a slot guy, some more screen opportunities, some bubble screen opportunities, just put the ball in his hands a little bit more because his receiving core a little bit banged up. Anthony Schwartz is banged up too, so we could see Kareem Hunt a little bit more involved in that regard too.
I would imagine they absolutely do. It's a great point too. And that might not just be a 1 week thing. This could be a several week thing potentially too, as the health continues to drag for Odell Beckham as well. Here we go. Number 3 on the list of most traded guys, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, we were here last week on the show, and Yates was telling you, you're going to see all kinds of crazy trades out there, people overreacting to week one. Week two was better. It was better. But there's still fear because Tony Pollard went over 100 yards, had a touchdown, and looked explosive. And the offense looked, frankly, better under that sort of circumstance with Tony Pollard behind than it was necessarily with Ezekiel Elliott. So, Jamie, I'm going to throw out a couple names here, and you tell me who you would rather have rest of season. Ezekiel Elliott or Najee Harris?
Still Zeke. I certainly trust that offensive line more. I trust the player more at this point. I think Harris has a wonderful career in front of him, but that Steelers offense looked lost against the Raiders in week two, and the Cowboys, getting Zach Martin back was a big boost, and mm-hmm. I hope the appeal goes well for Lyle Collins so they get that whole offensive line in front of him. So yeah, give me Ezekiel Elliott all day in that one.
Here's another one that a lot of folks had big upside for. Yates, if you could get Antonio Gibson and maybe a Darnell Mooney type wide receiver, right? Maybe a wide receiver 4-5 kind of guy, depending on the depth of your league thrown in there. Is that a move that you would make for Ezekiel Elliott? Or do you just want to go back and say, look, first 2 weeks, a little slow out of the gate. I'm going to stick with that Cowboys offense, stick with what I know with Zeke. Or do you take a little bit more of the unknown and potentially a little bit more depth in a deal like that?
Maybe if I could get a more significant wide receiver, because Darnell Mooney was a guy that we were just talking about on our waiver wire podcast. So like at that point, someone in that hypothetical trade situation, someone would be able to just pick up Darnell Mooney off the waiver wire and then trade him away. So it would have to be a little bit more, because Ezekiel Elliott, yes, Tony Pollard was involved, but Zeke was still productive for fantasy football this past week. And again, this is a very, very small sample size where I don't want to move off of a guy that I had in my top five running back rankings. So I'm knocking him down a couple of spots, but I'm not going to knock him down an entire tier. So where he's in the same territory of an Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris, and those guys that I had as low-end RB1s, high-end RB2s. So I'm not ready to do that just yet. But if I could get Antonio Gibson, I could knock down a tier at running back, still feel comfortable with having Antonio Gibson as maybe my RB1 or RB2 on my roster. And then I could get maybe a wide receiver too, somebody like that, then that might be worth it. But for right now, in a just one for one, like Ezekiel Elliott and Antonio Gibson, I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott.
If I was Zeke, I would go to Dak and say, remember that nice piece of luggage I got you for your first
right?
I would say, you know, you're throwing the ball to Tony Pollard a lot. Maybe give me a few more receptions. Otherwise, I'm taking that gift back.
And that is some nice luggage. Let me tell you, Yates has the same set. I don't know if people know that. It's very nice. I got it for him. And
you're a nice friend.
I know. You would think, right? Not even a thank you card, Jamie. Nothing. Dave, how about this one? Would you trade, let's say, David Montgomery and Mike Williams, Ezekiel Elliott? What about that value? You said you need to up the game a little bit, boys. So let's up the ante a little bit with somebody who has had at least one pretty good game here. Jamie, would David Montgomery and Mike Williams be a good return for Ezekiel Elliott, or would you prefer to have Elliott still rest the season?
I still prefer to have Elliott, but that's definitely closer than the trade you posed to Yates. I think, you know, you got to look at it. How bad is your need at receiver? Because you're taking a downgrade at running back. And I think Mike Williams is sustainable, but we know what his track record has been. So I'd have to probably, you know, think about that pretty hard. If I was dealing with just a terrible receiving core, you know, I got off to a slow start, you know, guys like Allen Robinson or, you know, the players who are struggling or not getting the job done. And I need to really have some significant juice at the receiver position that I could take the downgrade at running back. But I still would probably pass on that one. I just don't think it's enough. I'm not panicked on Zeke, you know, probably to the level that some fantasy managers are. And it doesn't sound like you guys are either. He played so much in week one without Zach Martin against the Bucks. Like, to me, that was a throwaway game to begin with. Right. And then you look at this game week two, he was fine. Like, if you tell me 17 PPR points is what I'm getting as the floor, right, which I think is probably going to be the case more times than not when he's healthy, I'll sign up for that all day long. So I'll probably still need a little bit more for Zeke moving forward.
Fun fact, guys, he hasn't had a game where he rushed for 100 yards with a rushing touchdown since 12/29/19. I was doing a little research yesterday and found that out, and I thought that was kind of an interesting little nugget there. But I'm with you. I'm not panicked either. And I was a guy who wasn't high on Zeke. But I'm telling you right now, he could be had because the trends tell us right now he's getting moved on a lot of rosters. And maybe you can get him cheaper than you realize. So take advantage of that. Let's take another quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection for that night's games. Prize Picks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you have to do. It's easy. The more players you pick, the more fun you have, and the more you can win up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the best way to play. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries too. So if you want to go the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes, you could do that. There's a ton of sports too. Football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, MMA, and more. And more! That's right. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals with the Prize Picks app that's rated 4.8 out of 5 in the App Store. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified. Find it on the App Store and Google Play today and use that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, the fun way to play daily fantasy. Last guy here in terms of most traded, it's a tight end. It's Rob Gronkowski. There's people who are overreacting, trying to trade for him because tight end is a wasteland, and maybe he's a second tight end on some teams because they just threw a dart on Gronk for old time's sake. And then there's a lot of other people who are terrified because these first 2 weeks have been so darn good for Rob Gronkowski. Yates, would you rather have Rob Gronkowski or Kyle Pitts rest of season?
I think I might rather have Rob Gronkowski. So if I've got Gronk, I think I'm just holding on to him. Like, I think that at this point, because you mentioned how just desolate the tight end landscape is, like, if I've got someone who's contributing, then I'm just going to hold on to him. You know, I'm not going to trade him away for that difference in pre-draft rankings where I think the consensus on Rob Gronkowski was outside the top 12 tight ends. Kyle Pitts being drafted sometimes has that top 5 tight end off the board. So yes, in a vacuum, that makes sense to make that jump. But when you take into the greater context of the tight end landscape and you just say, like, I don't know what I'm going to get in return if I do get Kyle Pitts back, I'm just take the guy who's continuing to contribute. So I'll go with Rob Gronkowski there.
What are your thoughts, Jamie, on Gronk? I mean, right now you've got, let's say, a guy like George Kittle who hasn't gotten off to the start maybe many had hoped for, and that 49er offense is a puzzle, to be kind. Do you think that you could possibly pull off a trade for George Kittle for Rob Gronkowski? And is that a trade you want to make? You keep talking about logic, right? But is logic right now is showing us Rob Gronkowski good, George Kittle a little bit of a question mark every week. But in our heads, we know theoretically the younger, more dynamic, athletic tight end at this stage in their careers, you should probably favor Kittle. But what would you do?
Well, Red Zone Robbie G, as he calls himself, apparently on the Manning cast from Monday.
Which that Manning cast is incredible. Oh, so I will great. Never go back to the normal broadcast.
I hope they never go away from it because it right. is fantastic. You know, no disrespect for the right. main crew, but right. this is just such a different viewing experience, and those guys are fun. The only two tight ends I would consider trading Gronkowski for would be George Kittle and Mark Andrews, just because I still think there's a huge ceiling ahead for both of those guys. And we're probably going to see at some point, you know, well, clearly there'll be some regression coming for Gronkowski, but you also have to fear, you know, for a guy at his age, is there going to be an injury? Because we know that's something that he's dealt with in the past. And when his playing time has been up, you know, it's sometimes, you know, you just have to worry about that for a guy in his early 30s. But he's been a monster. He's been an absolute star. He looks in great shape. You know, I forget where I heard this somewhere. Some NFL analyst was talking, so I apologize for not giving the name, but that he didn't expect to be this involved last season. You know, he thought he's coming out of retirement, wasn't in football shape, and, you know, thought he's going to be a part-time player. And you saw as the year went on, certainly in the Super Bowl, that maybe he got back to, you know, getting his feet underneath him and being the guy that we know he's capable of being, and had the full offseason to train and get used to the, you know, rigors of the NFL once again. And now you're seeing he just looks better, you know. So I think looking at it, you know, like you said, Kyle Pitts, no, I wouldn't take Kyle Pitts for Gronk at this point. I would only consider the potential of what George Kittle still can be and what Mark Andrews can still be. But I'd probably have to say throw in something on top of it because
right.
Gronk has
that's
been that
part
good.
Of it. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, is that you could probably get George Kittle plus something for Rob Gronkowski right now.
Wow. Unbelievable. Look at where we
the
are
world,
right now.
The world we live in.
The world we live in is insane. All right. It is week three after all. Let's touch base on some of the favorite buy lows and sell highs at different positions here. Jamie, I know your time is limited with us today. So if you could give me your number one buy low running back and wide receiver that you're looking for this week. If you're going to try to make a move on somebody, who would that person be?
Yeah, I mean, the running back for me would be Jonathan Taylor. You know, I know people are concerned. It's been a rough, you know, couple of weeks, and now Carson Wentz is down. But this was a tough schedule going into the season, and I think if I can get him before this week against the Titans, I certainly will be trying to do so, because I'm sure there are plenty of Jonathan Taylor fantasy managers going, oh, no, it's Jacob Eason. There's no T.Y. Hilton. This receiving corps is bad. This offensive line is the same. They're starting to get a little healthier. You know, Fisher playing last week, you know, hopefully he's going to come through, you know, fine and be ready to go. But there's still so much to like about Taylor. So if I get him cheap, and he's probably going to be as cheap as he'll ever be, that's certainly a guy I'm trying to get.
And what about a wide receiver you think you could buy low? I know a lot of people keep messaging me about Robert Woods. I'm sure you've seen that as well. Allen Robinson's a very popular name. Any of those guys or somebody else?
Those would be the top two. You know, Robinson for me, because I still think that Justin Fields is going to make him better. You know, we haven't seen the best of him yet, clearly, this season. And, you know, he's played with obviously miserable quarterbacks throughout the course of his career. So it might be some growing pains with Justin Fields. And, you know, we'll see how long he has the job. The Bears stupidly saying they're going to go back to Andy Dalton once he's healthy, which I don't quite get unless Fields just falls on his face. But as long as Fields can play like we saw in the preseason, like we saw certainly in his college career, I think better days, great days are ahead for Allen Robinson.
Yates, I keep saying, it's just one more week you got to get through. They got to play Cleveland this week. And then after that, you get Detroit, and that's where they're going to make the switch to Fields. It's pretty apparent from, I don't know, from where I'm saying, they're just trying to get one more game out of the way, try to get through the Cleveland game. But is this your window right now, Yates, to buy on Allen Robinson?
Yes, completely. People are going to look at the target totals, they're going to look at the yardage totals, and they're going to freak out. But I think Allen Robinson is still, I mean, he's wide receiver 13 in my rest of the season rankings. So he's still someone that if you can flip one of these lower tier wide receivers, people are panicking on Allen Robinson. So if I can get him at a discount right now, then that's a move that you need to make.
All right, let's continue on with some of the sell highs here. Jamie, let's get your folks in there. Who is your sell high running back and sell high wide receiver at this juncture in the season?
You know, for the running backs, it's so tricky because, like, so we're doing the same thing on our show on CBS Sports HQ, and Dave Richard is our trade guy. He does our trade chart on CBS Sports. And so the name that he gave me was Najee Harris. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, if I have Najee Harris, what am I selling him for? You know, it's like when you get one of these top-tier running backs, because, like, we talk about Gibson struggling, you know, Barkley struggling, Mixon's coming off a bad game, Taylor's not playing well. You're not selling those guys high at this point. Is Najee Harris bringing back something great in return that I'm going to say, okay, I got to give that player up to get, you know, Najee Harris. I'm giving up Najee Harris to get that player. So I think it comes down to need, but I don't really look at one of the top tier guys and say this is a sell high candidate yet. Like you could say, okay, maybe you're concerned about Zeke and you want to sell him after this game. So if you're on that side of it, I can get it. But I couldn't come up with somebody that I'm thinking that's like one of the top three round type of running backs that I'm trading at this point because either their value is depressed or I want to just hold them. Like I'm not selling Austin Eckler at this point. I'm not selling Aaron Jones at this point. Those guys are superstars. So to be honest, I couldn't come up with one. So I don't know if you guys have any names that fall in that category that aside from maybe Zeke, because you're concerned. But like I said, I'm on the other side of that.
What do you think if somebody, let's say you were able to move Najee Harris and something else for Saquon Barkley, do you take that lottery ticket of Barkley?
I guess it would depend on what the something else is, but sure.
Okay, because that's the one I'm looking at. It's maybe instead of trading away, it's maybe trading up for somebody, Yates. Do you think that's a possibility here with Harris where people still, anybody who, you know, understands football can't watch Najee Harris play, not get excited about him and then say, okay, it's probably going to get better as the season goes on, all that stuff. But then there's the people who have Saquon Barkley in the first 2 weeks we knew were going to be a struggle. And then all of a sudden you get to a point where you go, well, maybe I don't like this. I don't want to be involved in this. Maybe I want to take the upside of the younger guy. Do you think that's something you might be able to pull off in a league?
Potentially. But I mean, with the running back landscape and the way that it is currently, it's like I want the guys that are actually producing for me right now because mm-hmm. there's still a ton of question marks across the entire landscape. You know, with Saquon, sure, he's a lottery ticket, but there's also the potential that I am left with nothing, you know, and I gave away a constant and consistent producer for my lineup with Najee Harris, where at least we know he's getting the work. We know that he has the potential and talent. So I don't know if I would be willing to trade away any of these top tier guys. I think the name that I'll circle is Damian Harris. Damian Harris is the guy that I'll say, like, if I can trade away Damian Harris right now for a Jonathan Taylor, for a Antonio Gibson, one of those top tier, like that is making a tier jump for me. Whereas with some of these other top guys, I don't know if you want to sell high because they're actually producing, whereas a lot of the other running backs are not.
We had this conversation after Thursday's game. I'm curious to get your guys' take on it. Would you take Saquon Barkley straight up for Antonio Gibson right now? And so this was brought up by Adam Azer, who hosts our podcast on Fantasy Football Today.
Never heard of him.
Azer's point was, which is valid, when they're both right and you're hoping that Barkley's trending in the right direction, this could be his breakout game against the Falcons on 10 days rest.
Certainly could.
You know he's playing on all three downs, whereas the Washington football team is telling you and showing you that Gibson's going to come off the field in certain situations. So would you buy into, if Barkley's right versus Gibson being right, knowing that the workload may be a little bit more in favor of Barkley? For me, I would still take Gibson, but it did make me think a little bit when he put it in that context.
I would actually agree with him and take Barkley myself because I do think, once again, between the two of them, who's got top three overall upside
sure.
in their offense? And I think that's the other side of that argument I would throw in. Yates, how about for you?
They're at 11 and 12, respectively, my rest of season rankings. So I've got Gibson one spot higher than Barkley, but that's super close.
All right. Before we let you go here, Jamie, one more name, please. Give us a wide receiver you want to sell high on. Is it Mike Williams because of the injury quotient? Is it Cortland Sutton because eventually Jerry Jeudy does come back healthy? Who is a wide receiver in your mind that you think is somebody that you might want to get out on now while the getting's good?
This isn't about getting out on, but this is about trying to get great value in return while his value might be the highest, and that's Tyler Lockett. I love him. I think he's going to have a monster season rest of the way. But we know that there's going to be some inconsistencies at some point. DK Metcalf is not going to, quote unquote, struggle like he has in the first couple of weeks. And you might be able to, especially if you throw in a lesser tier running back, but you might be able to turn Tyler Lockett into a Saquon Barkley, into an Antonio Gibson, into a Jonathan Taylor. And we know it's easier to find wide receiver replacements than those type of running backs. So this is just selling high to buy low on one of the superstar running backs that we thought, or at least the top tier running backs. I don't know if I should use the word superstar anymore, but you know, one of those top tier guys, because Lockett's been fantastic. There will be some lulls at some point coming along the way. And so if you can get great value in return, that's something you should always try to do in fantasy.
Amazing stuff, as always, from Jamie Eisenberg. Be sure you follow him. I'm sure you do. But if you don't, please do at Jamie Eisenberg on the Twitter machine. Check him out on CBS Fantasy HQ and CBS Fantasy, Fantasy Football Today. All the shows he does over there does fantastic work. Jamie, we appreciate your time. Thank you again for coming on the program. Yates and I are going to take it the rest of the way with some more buy low, sell high candidates that we want to talk about. And the risers and fallers of rankings. And don't forget also your listener mailbag. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more right here on Fantasy Pros. Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you about Manscaped. That's right. The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is here, and so is the performance package for your package. But you can only get it with a special promo code we're offering for 20% off and free shipping. And of course, that code is Yates. That's right. You know why. And when you get that performance package from Manscaped, you're going to get the most incredible male grooming kit you have ever seen in your lifetime. We're talking about the Lawnmower 4.0 with its new 4K LED light. We're talking about the Weed Whacker. We're talking about the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver, the Toner, the Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag. And I can assure you, Yates is wearing those boxer briefs right now during the show. And it can all be yours, including the advanced skin-safe technology of the Lawnmower 4.0 and its 7,000K RPM motor. If you use that promo code Yates, head over to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with that promo code right now. Again, that's Yates over at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Now back to the action. Special shout out again and thank you to Jamie Eisenberg for gracing us with his time and his knowledge here on the Fantasy Pros podcast. And now we're going to transition to some other buy low, sell high targets here. And Yates, let's start with some of the buy lows. Who's your buy low running back of the week?
Yeah, for me, it is Antonio Gibson. There are a lot of people, you know, we just finished talking about it, where there's a lot of people that are panicking about Antonio Gibson. But with looking at his workload and what he has seen over the first 2 weeks, that's encouraging for me. That is the things, those are the things that we want to buy into from a fantasy football perspective. A lot of people, as they look at they might just look at the finished fantasy points on the week, and that's what they chase. And that could be on the back of incredible efficiency one game, or, you know, a ridiculous touchdown rate. For me, and what I encourage a lot of people to do when they play fantasy football, is to chase volume. That is the most, like, consistent, the thing that translates to consistent fantasy football production is the volume in respective offenses, at least at the top, right? And of course, we don't have every running back getting 20 plus touches every single week. So you got to adjust expectations for your RB2 spot and stuff like that. You'll have to take shots on some guys. But at that top and the top tier of RB1 and RB2, like, that is what we're talking about here with guys like Antonio Gibson, maybe even putting Jonathan Taylor into that conversation as well, where the workload for Antonio Gibson is still there. So that is what I want to buy into. And I am not panicking on Antonio Gibson. I know the touchdowns can be there. He had 11 rushing touchdowns last season. So I know that they'll be there. I'm going to buy Antonio Gibson this week.
You know, it's funny to me. I agree 100% with you, Yates. And I think what's very comical is we all talk so much about, well, we had to manage the running back the first couple, you know, days here for the Giants because it's Saquon Barkley and he's got 2 games in 5 days. But why doesn't the same logic apply necessarily to Antonio Gibson? I mean, this is coming straight out of the gate here at the beginning of the season. You got 2 games in a very short period of time. So Maybe it's just a little bit more of just managing this guy through September a little bit because they want him so much to be a part of the offense come October, November into December where it really matters the most. So that logic, I think, holds pretty true. What do you think about Miles Sanders for Antonio Gibson? Is that a deal that you could pull off right now?
Maybe. I mean, if you can, then you do that right away because Miles Sanders, he has a limited ceiling in this offense. He can be incredibly efficient, but if he's not going to see ridiculous target totals or, you know, the potential to find the end zone, I think that's going to go to Jalen Hurts. Then you go with Antonio Gibson. Gibson is still, he's averaging 16.5 rush attempts per game, 79.5 rush yards per game. The touchdowns haven't been there. But again, like I said, they will be there. You can't have that long of a touchdown rate without finding the end zone. Like, it's going to come back to a, you know, average regression here, like to the median. So I think that we go buy Antonio Gibson. And if you can pull off that trade from Miles Sanders, then you do that.
All right. For me, it's Saquon Barkley. A lot of the reasons we just kind of touched on with Jamie a little bit, but also the schedule gets better from here on out. And I think Saquon Barkley gets better from here on out. Maybe he doesn't have number one overall upside finish in the end, but in terms of whether or not I think he could be better the rest of the season than what we've seen so far, I think that answer is yes. The question is, what do you want to give up for him? That is the trouble. Jonathan Taylor for Saquon Barkley. What side of that deal would you rather be on, Yates?
I will take the Jonathan Taylor side of that. I know that we have the quarterback questions in Indianapolis, but the usage for Jonathan Taylor this past week was super weird. I thought that the game script was going, and especially the defensive like structure, I thought that Carson Wentz was going to for sure continue to check it down to Jonathan Taylor. went from, what, 7 targets in week 1 to 1 last week? Like, that, I just don't see that happening. And if it is Jacob Eason at quarterback, he's going to lean on the run game, and he's going to be featuring his running backs underneath. I don't think that he's going to be looking to take chances deep downfield, so consistently at least. So, yeah, I think Jonathan Taylor's the guy for me in that situation.
Chris Carson for Saquon Barkley. Who wins that deal?
Oh, I will take Saquon Barkley there. I love the offense for Seattle, but Chris Carson has had a very high touchdown rate through the first 2 weeks. His yardage hasn't been there necessarily. So I think with Saquon Barkley, you need to be at least putting out offers in your league for the person who has Saquon, because at this point, people are starting to panic. They're starting to go, okay, I'm 0-2. Like, I need to start getting some wins here. I need to start having some people on my roster that can contribute for me, because now that panic is starting to set in. So again, it is a very, very long fantasy football season. So should that panic set in just yet? Probably not. You're still going to be okay. But Saquon Barkley throughout the first 2 weeks hasn't been great. I think it will increase here, especially his workload as we move throughout the season. I don't know what the receiving workload is going to be like, so that's why I still have him a little bit lower. But in that situation, it depends on what I need. Do I need proven production right now? Then I'll go with Chris Carson. If I can live with Saquon Barkley as my RB2, you know, I've got Derrick Henry as my RB1 or something like that, where I just know what I'm going to, or Christian McCaffrey, I know what I'm going to get every single week, then I will take that shot on Saquon Barkley, because that has the potential to be a league winner.
Last one from a selfish perspective, because I'm thinking about offering this trade in a league, David Montgomery for Saquon Barkley.
At that point, Chris Carson and David Montgomery are in the same territory. So
I agree,
it depends on if you can find a manager who relied on Saquon Barkley as their RB1 and they don't have a proven RB. Let's say they have Miles Gaskin as their RB2 or something like that, and they just need proven production. I think you can pull that trade off.
I think I might want to. It's first or last when it comes to some of the leagues I'm playing, and I can tell you that much. All right, let's talk about buy low wide receiver, Yates. Who's your number one buy low wide receiver? I know we talked about Allen Robinson at length there. Is there another guy that kind of pops to you? I know you've been a huge Robert Woods guy, and my goodness, I see him getting traded all over the place. The insights on some of the trades so far that I've seen are very high when it comes to him. Is it him, or is it another name potentially on this board?
You definitely can go after Robert Woods. It is just, I think he's still going to be a very, very reliable fantasy football wide receiver moving forward, but we have to adjust our expectations. We'll talk about him in a little bit. So I don't want to give a ton away there, but I do think that you can go and buy Robert Woods low. The other guy that I would look to buy low on right now is Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, I don't understand how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put up 45 points in week two, and Antonio Brown had one catch. Like, I just don't understand how that really happens. So I think moving forward, we are going to see AB continue to be involved in this offense. People are, you know, they're disappointed because the expectations for AB in week two were sky high. I mean, I had him at wide receiver 16 in my rankings. Like, it looked like a smash spot for him. So I still don't understand how that happened. This offense is going to continue to put up points. AB is going to be involved moving forward. If you can find someone who has that just kind of like frustration with him because they had sky high expectations for him in week two, you can swoop in and quote unquote buy low. Then I think you do that.
Especially from the person who had him on the bench week one and then started him this week.
Exactly.
And he's losing their mind right now and just wants to get out of the business. I bet Deebo Samuel for Antonio Brown will get done. What do you think? I think that's it. Give me the AB side of that one.
Yep.
That's the kind of wide receiver I'd be looking to move right now. And Antonio Brown actually had a couple moments there with Brady that could have been better, but they just didn't match up there for whatever reason. Ball's overthrown, ball dropped, you know, a couple things here that could have gone a different way. And then maybe we'd have a different conversation, but there's a lot of AB people out there who have that same pattern I just mentioned that are really frustrated right now. Take advantage of the frustration. He was on my top three list as well. Going back to Woods for a second, do you think you could get Robert Woods for Brandon Cooks right now? He's had a great couple weeks, but now we know that quarterback play is going to be in question. Tyrod Taylor is going to be out for a few weeks. Do you think that you could pull that one off just based on the stats at hand and maybe your more casual formats and casual leagues?
I definitely think you can. I definitely think that you can move Brandon Cooks for Robert Woods. I think if you want to, they're in the same tier for me, because even though Brandon Cooks, the quarterback situation is not great with Davis Mills stepping in, but I mean, the target volume is going to be there. The ridiculous target share when Davis Mills came in last week. I mean, Cooks with 14 targets last week, and then every other the next leading target getter in the offense was with 2. Like, it was a bunch of people tied with 2 targets. So Brandon Cooks is going to see a ridiculous target volume. If you want to go with the better offense there, you just want to buy into that, then I think you can go with Robert Woods, but they're in the same tier for me.
I know going into the year, Yates, you were very high on Chase Claypool. It's been a quiet start to the season. Is this a great opportunity to buy low on Claypool? Because I think we all would imagine the Steelers' offense is going to improve. So I don't think it's just going to all of a sudden just fall apart this year and be dreadful all year. I think they will improve. And the question is, can Claypool improve this fantasy production with it?
Yeah, I think that you definitely can go out and acquire Chase Claypool for cheap right now as a potential wide receiver three for your lineup. I think that he still has ridiculous potential. I mean, he became more and more involved in the offense this past week, a 22.5% target share, 8 targets, but only had, you know, a 37.5% catch rate with for 3 receptions, average 23.3 yards per reception. So it's still a safe, you know, still a solid fantasy day in standard leagues particularly. But I think that the expectations for Claypool were higher than what he's producing as right now. I think that this will bounce back. I think we are going to see Chase Claypool, especially now that we don't know what Deontay Johnson's injury status is. Like, he seemed like he avoided major injury, but we don't. And I would be highly surprised if he ended up suiting up this next week. So I think Chase Claypool, if you can get him now before fantasy managers are starting to think that Deontay Johnson might not be back next week, then I think that you can get him for pretty cheap right now.
I bet that person probably might have struggled also out of the gate, depending on where they drafted Claypool. So maybe some win now help, a guy like a Tim Patrick, who people picked up and has been pretty good and probably will be pretty good the next couple of weeks. That might be the perfect kind of trade, because we don't know the long-term value of a Tim Patrick. And I don't know if that's enough to get it done, but frustrations are a beautiful thing. It's a hell of a drug sometimes for some people. Let's talk about some of the sell high candidates right now. And I want to ask you about this one. I know it's one of your favorite guys. I want to ask you about Daryl Henderson. Is Daryl Henderson a sell high? Because already we're looking at what this offense might be, and Stafford does seem to really just feel comfortable throwing the football in it, as we all imagined he would. Henderson already dealing with a little bit of an issue. There's still the feel that he's kind of a safe option, but every passing week, Sony Michel gets a little bit more acclimated to the playbook. Is there any chance here that Daryl Henderson is a candidate to sell high on? And I know that's tricky because running back already is thin.
Yeah, not for me. I still want Daryl Henderson here. I am not concerned about Sony Michel taking a significant portion of his workload or anything like that. I think with the issue, though, with talking about Daryl Henderson as a sell high is that he is currently injured. Now, we don't know. It sounds like more information is going to come out on Friday. So we don't know exactly what his injury status is for this upcoming week. Sounds like he's going to play, but that's, you know, where we're sitting here on Tuesday. So a lot can happen between now and then. You can't sell high on Henderson right now because he currently has the questionable tag next to his name in fantasy football platforms. So I think right now you just continue to hold on to Daryl Henderson. I mean, he's performing extremely well. I'm not concerned about Sony Michel. We've seen Henderson just dominate the opportunity share in this offense when he is fully healthy. And I mean, it was a rib cartilage injury. It's a fluke injury. It's not like it's a, you know, reoccurring thing for Daryl Henderson. So I'm not concerned.
I bet he has more value in the open market, even with that questionable tag, just because there's been so much either bad running back play at the RB2 spot, or you know, people who have all the shares of, say, San Francisco running backs or Tampa running backs. They might take the shot on that questionable tag right now if you want to get out from it.
Henderson through 2 weeks is the RB6 in all of fantasy football and half people are scoring.
So, and that's the point. The point I'm making is you can sell him off that maybe higher than you think, even with that tag.
Sure. I think part of it too is what we talked about with Jamie is like, I want guys that are contributing for my fantasy football lineup right now. Like, in theory, I would love to take that tier jump up, but I need Daryl Henderson right now.
Fair enough. Who is your sell high running back, if there is one right now?
I really don't know if there is one, because it's kind of the same thing. It's like, I don't know if I want to be able to move off one of these guys. The guy that I did mention in the past segment was Damian Harris. I think that Harris has looked fantastic. Like, he is an incredible running back. But also in week 2, they had a very, very favorable game script throughout that entire one. 4 interceptions for Zach Wilson. They got the ball. They were just saying, we can run it. So I think now they're going up against New Orleans, I think, this upcoming week off the top of my head. So I think we're going to see that Mac Jones is going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than what he has in previous weeks. Damian Harris still going to be very, very involved. But if you can make that tier jump from a Damian Harris to a Jonathan Taylor, to maybe someone is so frustrated with Alvin Kamara, that feels like a ridiculous trade to make, but to even talk about. But I think it can happen in some leagues where you go from Damian Harris, who is producing with this opportunity, and you can make that tier jump up. I'm looking to do that.
All right. How about a wide receiver? Is there a sell high guy and somebody that maybe you don't really like where it's going, but maybe the first 2 weeks have gone better than you expected?
Jamie, you mentioned Tyler Lockett. That's definitely in consideration for me. But at this point, I mean, it's Tyler Lockett's looking just unstoppable. I do think that we are going to see DK Metcalf come back and start to be more involved in the offense. He'll start to produce. It'll lead to some inconsistencies for Tyler Lockett. But this offense was made for Tyler Lockett, apparently. The other guy that I will talk about is Mike Evans. Mike Evans, non-factor in week one. Then comes out here in week two, has two receiving touchdowns. Now, that could have been where they went back to the drawing board. They said, we've got to get Mike Evans more involved. And I think that's going to happen from time to time. But that was also up against the Atlanta Falcons secondary. So Mike Evans moving forward, I think he's going to be this inconsistent guy. If you can take that two touchdown performance and you can move off of him, I'm doing that.
All right, let's talk about some of the other guys that are rising and falling in the rankings here. And Yates, let's start with the running back. What running back has made the biggest jump for you after this past week two is now in the books?
Yeah, of course. And this might seem like a typical and obvious answer, but it's Tony Pollard for me. I mean, Tony Pollard, what he has done here throughout the first 2 weeks of the season, we are starting to see him become an integral part of this offense. And I think that we've seen where we've had two running backs coexist for fantasy purposes, right? Ezekiel Elliott was being drafted as a top five running back. Tony Pollard was being drafted, what, outside the top 40? So for me, and that's where I was ranking him, like it seemed like it was going to be Zeke. Tony Pollard would see some work. He might have flex value some weeks, but it wasn't going to be to the point where we were consistently like being able to rely on Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard's all the way up to RB26 in my rest of season rankings. So this is a guy that I want over Javonte Williams currently, over James Robinson. Chase Edmonds is in that conversation. Melvin Gordon. So like Tony Pollard in this offense with how high powered it is, two running backs can coexist. It'll knock Zeke's ceiling down just a little bit, and it brings Tony Pollard up. So Pollard all the way up to RB26 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've got him even higher, which is probably not shocking to you, but I'm making a case for him all the way up at 21. Wow. Just because, well, here's the thing. It's in the split backfields of Denver. They don't have the same scoring upside on a weekly basis than, right, say, Dallas. So therefore, I'd rather take the split guy in Dallas right now until it's proven otherwise. And I'm also looking at other guys like Gaskin, DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, whose health has been an issue here. Those are the guys in that same cluster. And right now, I feel better about starting Tony Pollard than I do Josh Jacobs. You know, Tyson Williams is right on that fringe for me. You know, both Detroit running backs, once again, it's like these guys in the timeshares, and he's one of these guys in the timeshare. But do I want the timeshare in the high-powered offense, or do I want the timeshare in the middling offense? And I think I'm going to go towards the other version, especially when you start to look at the Dallas schedule and some of the teams they've got coming up here. You're going to get that Giants game. You're going to get a couple other favorable matchups there. And Zeke is not going away. Zeke is not going to crumble into nothing. But at the same time, it's clear that Tony Pollard has a role, and they don't think that role is going away because he looks really good in it. For me, the biggest mover was Damian Harris, who I have all the way up at 17. That's probably too high and too rich for Yates's blood. But man, that angry run on Sunday was just that really pushed me to a different level, because to me, that's the kind of effort level that the Patriots coaching staff historically really rewards and they care about. And that's the kind of football that I think, and the identity of this team that they want to be. They want to run the football. They want to play defense. They want to protect the young quarterback, which means that although Yates is absolutely 100% correct there, there were so many positive situations there where Zach Wilson just handed them the football, basically. But still, Damian Harris continues to look good, look like the guy. Ramondre Stevenson inactive for that game too. I just feel like it's going in the right direction for Harris. He has been a fantastic draft value because you got him probably as an RB4, maybe an RB3 towards the end. But
depending on when you draft him.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness, man. Let me tell you, he's been a really good value. All right, who's moving down the other way, Yates? Let's talk about guys who you're moving down the rankings at running back. Who's that big mover for you this week?
Yeah, again, it's an obvious answer, but it's CEH. CEH, I did not have as high as consensus. I think off the top of my head, consensus was like RB14 by the time that our rankings closed. I had him at RB16 or RB17 because I was just saying, like, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to check down to him. Like, I don't think that, and I mentioned, like, if he was playing with an Alex Smith type quarterback, an Andy Dalton, someone like that, then I mean, CEH's fantasy production might just be top five just because he's going to soak up targets. He's so good after the catch. He's a phenomenal pass catcher out of the backfield. It's just not going to happen in this offense. So CEH falling all the way to RB20 on the year. For context, I've got Damian Harris at RB18. So right now, I'd rather have Damian Harris in my on my fantasy football lineup than CEH.
18 and I have at 17. Yeah. We're closer than we thought. And we're wearing the same kind of shirt today, there in case you didn't notice on the YouTube channel.
Man, I actually didn't know that.
I didn't notice this the entire show till just now. Everything's coming together. We're all sponsored by Under Armour today. That'd be a hell of a sponsor. Let's get some Under Armour swag. Yes. Let's go. Under Armour, if you're listening, we're already representing. It's not that hard. Okay, let's move on here. Mike Davis is my guy, all the way dropped to RB30 for me.
Yeah, it's not
great. I don't know if you've dropped him lower than that, Yates, but that Cordarrelle Patterson game last week, just really struggling there right now. There's not too many guys ahead of him, but behind him, it's like basically the Tampa guys right now. And I'm just, the reason why he hasn't dropped further for me, Yates, is just because I want to see this matchup this week against the Giants, because this could be the get right game for the Falcons offense. And the Falcons offense started to make some strides against the Bucs and found some self-respect, as football teams will do. You can't just write everybody off after one bad week. It's just not the way the NFL works. But I'm not sure where you have Mike Davis right now, but this is the perfect buy low. I mean, some people want to drop him. You could probably get him for nothing. And if you just want some running back depth, and right, he does turn things around, it's not going to cost you much to find out, Yates. That's how I feel about Davis.
Yeah, he's at RB29 for me, so we're in lockstep here again. I think that he is a guy that if you want to just go acquire for super, super cheap, you want to be able to get him as a depth piece on your roster, I think you definitely can live with that.
All right, let's go to the wide receivers. Yates, who's made the biggest tier jump for you in terms of rising wide receivers after week two is now in the books?
So after week one, looking at what Cooper Kupp did, it was like, all right, it looks like Matthew Stafford and Kupp have a connection here. They've got some chemistry. He's going to tick up. I mean, I had him as a mid-range wide receiver too in pre-draft rankings, so he was still pretty high in my rankings. I think I had him and Robert Woods pretty close together. But then, I mean, week two just cemented it. It was like, okay, Cooper Kupp, top 10 wide receiver on the year, locked in. Like, there's no debating that. Cooper Kupp is just on fire to start the season. It's just ridiculous what he is doing in this offense. So Cooper Kupp for me is the guy. I mean, you look at his stats, a 38.2% target share. He has 4.59 yards per route run. He is currently on pace. I tweeted this out earlier for 170 targets on the season, 136 receptions, 2,303 receiving yards, and 25 and a half touchdowns. So obviously we know that that is not going to happen. That pace will, we will see some regression here, but Cooper Kupp are all the way up to wide receiver 7 for me.
I've got him at 9 and I was contemplating even higher. And when we had on the DFS show this week, Elliot Chris was on from FTN. He was telling me a story about, he read this piece about Cooper Kupp and Stafford have breakfast together every morning and go over stuff. And, you know, it's those little things like that. You hear that. And guess what? I made sure after that conversation, when he told me that little nugget about how close they are. And when you're sitting around talking football all the time and talking about the inner game, it does translate on the field. And you saw it this week, and I made sure I had him in all the DFS lineups that I had this past week. And I'm with the eights. He's definitely top 10 right now. Maybe he's got a top 5 upside this year. I don't know, but it's certainly going in the right direction. Sterling Shepard's the guy that I moved up a ton. I moved him up all the way to wide receiver 29 right now. And it's just about the volume at this point. And, you know, Daniel Jones isn't great. I think we can all agree on that. But at the same time, Yates, it's, are you going to give me such an incredible floor on a weekly basis? And it's starting to feel like that's exactly what Sterling Shepard's going to do as long as he's healthy and on the field. It might not be like the sexiest play ever, but Sterling Shepard in terms of like weekly point total that I can count on in my lineup seems very strong. I'm curious, where do you have him ranked now?
He is the model of consistency right now throughout the first 2 weeks, and that is really what we want in our fantasy football lineup. So for me, Sterling Shepard, I'm trying to find him.
I can't. He should be right around 30, I think.
Is that where he needs to be?
I don't know, but it's considering that you and I have been on the same page on 4 guys, that is stunning so far. Usually we're not even that close.
Right.
So that's kind of fascinating already that we're, you know, in that same territory. But look, man, when it comes to Shepard, I just think we have to kind of accept what they, and even if Kenny Galladay keeps yelling and screaming at Daniel Jones, I don't know how much that's going to change.
Because he's actually screaming at Jason Garrett. That came out. He was screaming at Jason Garrett, which, I mean, we understand.
I can understand. I know a lot of my friends over the years who have screamed at Jason Garrett.
Yes, very good. Sterling Shepard at wide receiver 35 for me.
35. All right, so pretty close there. So who's going in the opposite direction for you, wide receiver now, Yates?
It's just adjusting expectations. I talked about it earlier. It's Robert Woods. So Robert Woods here, he is still going to be a very, very safe and reliable wide receiver. This, you want pieces of this offense here. And he is still seeing a very respectable 23.6% target share in this offense through 2 weeks. So he is still going to be involved. However, I was talking about Robert Woods as I think I have Woods at wide receiver 13 in my pre-draft rankings. So this is all about just adjusting expectations here, where it looks like it's going to be Cooper Kupp in this offense, not Robert Woods. Again, Woods is going to be fine. Don't panic on him. I've got him at 23, though. So he has taken a little bit of a drop here, where I just got, you know, looking at guys that are, I want T. Higgins above him. I want Adam Thielen, DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett. Like, I just can't continue to rank Robert Woods over those guys. So Woods, it's all about just adjusting expectations. I'm not concerned. I'm not completely off of Robert Woods, but it's just adjusting expectations with what Woods and what he's going to give you from a fantasy football perspective.
No, I think that's very fair. And Woods will come around. He is such a good buy low right now. He's been a very consistent player, and I don't expect him to just disappear. It's just a couple weeks where it's not the best run, and it will turn around. For me, it's Odell Beckham. I've moved him all the way down to 39 right now. That's where he is. And I had him even lower than that this morning when I woke up, but then I had a cup of coffee and I tried to come around a little bit. But it's just very frustrating. I mean, if you're not on the field, you can't really be useful rest of season. And I've seen Odell Beckham many, many years now not be on the field. And I think at a certain point, we have to kind of come to grips with it, that put the talent, put the highlight reel catches all off to the side, and let's just deal with who the player is right now, what the identity of the Cleveland Browns actually is right now in reality, and realize how much fantasy goodness can he really give you at this point. And I think you can still sell Odell Beckham to a team that's had injuries or problems and needs depth at wide receiver, frankly, off the name brand value. And frankly, I'd rather have a Sterling Shepard right now for Odell Beckham, and it ain't close for me. Now, I'm fascinated. I'm going to ask this question. It's a dangerous one. Where do you have Odell Beckham, and how embarrassed are you that I have him so low?
Where did you say that you have him?
39.
Dang it, man. I have him at 39. I'm not even joking that I have Odell Beckham Jr. at 39 right now. And the thing here is, with Jarvis Landry most likely, again, recording on Tuesday, so most likely going to miss this upcoming matchup, I think that if Odell Beckham does come back into the lineup this week, I mean, this is the time where we could see him really start to rise back up. But until we get clarity on what is going on here with his injury status, the rehabbing, everything like that, I mean, he was ruled out early last week, which is a concern. So I think with Odell Beckham Jr., he has the potential to rise significantly right next Tuesday when we do the show. We'll be talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Potentially back up into my top 24 wide receivers or something like that if he is back on the field and does produce with his target opportunity, because Jarvis Landry could be out for a few weeks.
You're right. It all could be true. But you know what, man? I think there's just other pieces I'd rather have going forward the rest of the season. All right, let's talk about your questions here. The listener mailbag, our favorite thing, our interaction part of the show. And let's go with Richie Neal at Richie Rich FF06. Richie's one of the great fans of the show. Antonio Gibson and Marvin Jones for AJ Brown. It's a 10-team single quarterback league. Would you be, I guess the question is, which side of this trade would you rather be on? He's got CMC, Antonio Gibson, Mixon, and Swift are his RBs. So would you be looking to upgrade there over wide receivers, or Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Sutton, Allen Robinson? I don't know, man. I feel like I want to keep Antonio Gibson in this deal, don't you? Considering that he's already got Higgins, he's got Allen Robinson and Sutton. That's a pretty good core if Deontay can be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing is, and I appreciate people who like include the rest of their, like the context of the rosters, because it's like, okay, maybe if you need wide receiver, you know, top tier wide receiver talent, then maybe. But no, with this one, I will keep the top tier running back here, right? And you do have Christian McCaffrey, so he's like two top tier running backs in one. And Joe Mixon, obviously. So you're just going to continue. It's a 10-team league. That's important to keep in context here. So you're going to be able to hold on to those guys, but I think you still have a solid wide receiver core right now with T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton, Allen Robinson. Now, if we get word that Deontay Johnson might miss several weeks, then that might be something where I consider selling off. But Marvin Jones at this point is still, like, you can plug him into your lineup and still be fine.
Right. I agree. I'm with you. All right, two for two. Glockta50 wants to know, my RB room is empty after losing Dobbins and Mostert. Ugh, I'm so sorry. Running with Gordon and Javonte Williams right now because I don't trust Singletary. I don't blame you. I have the Mahomes-Kelsey stack, also picked up Fields. Someone's now offering me Chase Edmonds for Singletary in Fields. What do you think? Half PPR. In that circumstance, would you take Edmonds for Singletary in Fields?
I would, because here's the thing with Justin Fields. We talked about Justin Fields, Trey Lance throughout the whole pre-draft process. We were like, if you can afford it, grab the two quarterback strategy this year. And now as we have moved throughout it, you know, I did it in a couple of leagues. And as I moved throughout the season, I got decimated by injuries, particularly at the running back position. And I had to drop Justin Fields because having Justin Fields on your bench is a luxury. You know, whereas you need to be able to get some of these guys that are going to be able to contribute for your lineup right away. So Devin Singletary, I don't want to mess with this Buffalo Bills backfield. Like, I just don't. Whereas with Chase Edmonds at this point, I at least feel comfortable with him. So if I can, I've got Patrick Mahomes, you know, so it's like with Justin Fields, I can trade him away. I can let someone else have that luxury of having Justin Fields on their roster. And then I can trade away a guy that I will never want to play in Devin Singletary, and I can get Chase Edmonds. I will make that move.
All right, last one here. T. Holzer 9. Been offered Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Mike Williams full PPR. Have CMC, Carson, and Tyson as running backs with Ridley, Kupp, Higgins, Fuller, Waddle, wide receivers. I'm tempted. This is from our Aussie listener, too. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Mike Williams. I mean, he's got some running back depth there with Carson and Tyson Williams, but you can never have enough running backs. You think you'd make this move considering how Ridley's gotten off to a slow start and Fuller's gotten off to no start at all?
Well, he would be getting CEH.
Oh, I'm sorry, getting CEH. Okay, so getting CEH for Mike Williams. Well, Kupp, Higgins, Fuller, Waddle. That's a pretty good group to run with without Williams, don't you think?
Yeah, so you would have Calvin Ridley, who is still a, you know, top tier wide receiver two, low end wide receiver one. Cooper Kupp, I just talked about as a, you know, mid range wide receiver one. T. Higgins is performing incredibly well. Just one of the most reliable wide receiver twos in all of fantasy football. And then you have Waddle. You know, the concern there is with Fuller and Waddle, what's the health status on Tua Tagovailoa? Because if you go from him to Jacoby Brissett, I think this offense is going to take a step back. So I might be a little bit concerned there. But if you want that running back depth, then I think that you can absolutely trade away Mike Williams for CEH just to be able to have him on your roster to be able to plug in for those bye weeks, because we don't know what the usage every week is going to be for Tyson Williams. Carson has his own health concerns. You know, he's been injured here or there. So if you want to make that move, I think you can.
All right. Fair enough. There you have it. That's week two transitioning into week three here. The risers, the fallers, the trade targets, the buy lows, the sell highs, and everything in between. I want to thank Jamie Eisenberg from CBS once again for joining us on the show today. And I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/contest to get that Kyler Murray autograph football. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. And while you're at it, don't forget to get that 3X entry into the contest by simply subscribing to our YouTube channel here at Fantasy Pros. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. When you do, and click that little notifications bell while you're at it, and make our producer Chris very, very happy when you do. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Prize Picks. Head over to Prize Picks right now and download that app on the Apple Store or Google Play and use that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that promo code's GRIDIRON. And don't forget to head over to Manscaped.com. Manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with that promo code Yates. Use it and help yourself to, of course, the great products over at Manscaped. All right. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.